Up a little bit. We need to wrap up the theme for this conference. Of course, the theme has been the gospel, the people, the land, and the future of Israel. And so I hope to just share some thoughts, gather some of the ideas that have been expressed this weekend by our wonderful speakers, to try and just discern what is the Lord saying to us about the gospel, the people, the land, and the future of Israel. I think that for the first thing is that we need to, we really see that more than ever, there's an urgent mandate to proclaim the good news, the gospel to all people, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. I think that I've really loved the kind of mission emphasis of this conference, because if we're just a holy huddle that enjoys Jewish-style worship, Messianic dance, great teaching, and that's as far as it goes, well then, we're just a club, and that's not going to do anything for the kingdom of God. We need to be encouraged, each and every one of us, to go out, and I think that that's what this conference has done for me this weekend, and hopefully for you as well, to go out, to proclaim the gospel to all people. And, you know, the gospel, when we talk about the gospel, I hope that we understand it a little bit better this after this weekend. It's not an understood term. People have all sorts of weird ideas about what is the gospel. Just to test this out, I asked my dad, actually, this very week. So, Dad, what is the gospel? Now, sadly, you know, I've been a believer for 30 years, I think it is now, 29 years. My dad couldn't tell me what the gospel was. I was quite shocked by his response. I can't even articulate it, what he told me. It was just so mixed up. And his girlfriend, my mother passed away about 9 years now, his girlfriend, also Jewish, I asked her, Doran, what is the gospel? You know, and it was very mixed up with, you know, music, you know, the gospel singers and you know, she even said the truth. And I thought, well, that's pretty good. But again, she couldn't articulate what is the gospel. We need to do a better job in explaining what is the gospel, not just to Jewish people, but to all people. And certainly when I grew up, I had no idea what the gospel was. I had a pretty mixed up idea that when I was young, I was very, impressionable. And I remember the one album that my brother and sister had at home, Jesus Christ Superstar, you know, that play that was on for some years. And that's as far as I knew what the gospel was. That was that something to do with that story there. And of course, one of the songs there is about the gospel. And that to me was my very distorted idea of what was the gospel. And certainly I thought that the gospel was something very Christian, very Gentile, about Jesus Christ, son of Mr. and Mrs. Christ. And of course, as we heard earlier, the New Testament was written by all sorts of good Catholic boys. St. Peter, St. John, St. Paul, St. Matthew. I've never met any Jewish person called St. anyone, so I assumed they were Catholic. And my surprise was when I first read the New Testament, when I first read the Gospels, and discovering the Jewish Jesus, who said the Shema was the most important commandment, and the second like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. When I read that, it just struck my heart, because I used to watch my grandfather, Elias Lazarus, do the Shema prayers 3 times a day. And so when I saw Yeshua not only say the Shema, but say it is the most important commandment, I began to understand how Jewish Yeshua was, how Jewish the gospel was. And of course, that time, now 29 years ago, transformed my life when I came to faith in Yeshua, our Jewish Messiah. And yet today, at least on an academic level, there seems to be a very intriguing trend in Jewish circles to reclaim Yeshua, Jesus, as one of our own. And so there's been a growing body of work exploring the Jewishness of Jesus, the Jewishness of the Gospels. We've heard a bit about that from Daniel this weekend. Work from such scholars as Geza Vermes, Amy Jill Levine, who's written several articles and books. Daniel Boyarin, the one that Daniel Nassim mentioned. And of course, also Rabbi Shmuley Bateach, who published a book earlier last year, Kosher Jesus. The Kosher Jesus. These authors and many others are willing to reclaim Jesus as a radical rabbi who preached Jewish teachings to the Jewish people. There's a quote from Rabbi Shmuley where he says, Jesus was a Jew. He lived a life totally devoted to Torah and mitzvot, as should every Jew. He resisted all efforts to change Judaism. As my book clearly demonstrates from Christian sources, he drew upon the Torah for everything he taught. And it's time that Judaism received credit for the riches it has brought to the world through Christianity. Quite an unusual way to look at it. It's time for Christians to reject the false legacy of Jesus as an anti-Semitic enemy of his people and embrace the fully observant Jewish patriot who never sought to create a new religion and devoted his life to reinforcing Jewish observance. So that's an interesting comment from Rabbi Shmuley Bateach. And I like that. But don't expect to find in these books and these testimonies, or sorry, in these books, any testimonies of their personal faith in Yeshua as the Messiah and the Savior of the world. But we do need to rise up and be bold and seize this opportunity of this growing interest in the Jewish community of the Jewish Jesus and proclaim the good news to our people. We need to pray more fervently for the salvation of Jewish people worldwide. Actually, as a result of Rabbi Shmuley's book, Kosher Jesus, I was actually given an opportunity to speak at a synagogue, a local synagogue in Melbourne, on the subject. Now, the lady who invited me to address the group didn't know what she was getting herself into. And I did try explain it to her, but she didn't really get it. But after the meeting, she got it. But it was a great opportunity to share the gospel. By the way, Michael Brown's response to Rabbi Shmuley's book, The Kosher Jesus, is the real kosher Jesus. Has anyone picked it up from the bookshelf? Yeah, some of you. It's a brilliant book, really great book, and it gives a rundown of what Jewish scholars are saying about Yeshua, and it's a really great resource. Michael Brown's book, The Real Kosher Jesus. Let me make a couple of comments and also remind us of some of the comments of the speakers about the Jewish gospel. Of course, the gospel is Jewish, as Vladi reminded us. And from that 1 Corinthians passage, now brothers, I must remind you of the good news which I proclaim to you. The Messiah died for our sins in accordance with what the Tanakh says. And he was buried. And he was raised on the third day in accordance with what the Tanakh says. Of course, the gospel is according to the Tanakh. The gospel is seen in the Torah, the prophets, and in the writings. And we've seen this weekend too that grace was active in the Tanakh, but was brought to fullness in the coming of Yeshua, our Messiah, in the Brit Chadashah. And what Vladimir said to us was that the gospel was about a Jewish king. And it was a message about the redemption of Israel. And I love those verses that he chose from the Gospel of Luke. You know, as the world is getting ready, as a billion Christians around the world are going to celebrate Christmas, the coming of the Messiah, of the Christ, of course, I would love them to just stop for a moment and to remember that Jesus is Jewish. I'd like them to stop for a moment and think about the people who brought us Jesus, the Jewish people, who have not yet come to fully accept the message. And of course, if they could only pray for the salvation of Jewish people. And to see in those passages the beautiful Jewish hope expressed by Miriam, by Zechariah, about the coming of the Messiah and one who will bring redemption to Israel. It's the same Yeshua. And of course, we might know that Yeshua wasn't born on the 25th of December, but the concept of the birth of the Messiah certainly is a very Jewish idea. After all, every Jewish mother wished that her son was the Messiah. I remember once, several years ago, I went onto the streets of East St. Kilda, and we were interviewing Jewish people, and we were asking them, who do you think Jesus is? I remember one beautiful Polish Jewish woman in her accent. I asked her that question. She said, he was Jewish, but his mother thought he was God. And that is very true. Now, Vladimir also reminded us that the Jewish gospel included the giving of the Holy Spirit to all people, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, as Peter proclaimed in Acts chapter 2. I love these verses, verse 38. Turn from sin, return to God, each of you, and be immersed on the authority of Yeshua the Messiah into forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. For this promise is for you. Remember, he's speaking to Jewish people at the Feast of Shavuot in Jerusalem. For your children and for those who are far away. Speaking of the Gentiles. The gift is not just for the Jewish people. The gift of the Ruach HaKodesh is not just for Jews, but for all peoples. As many as Adonai, our God, may call. What a beautiful scripture and a reminder that the gospel includes the giving of the Holy Spirit to all of us who believe. And Vladimir also reminded us that the Jewish gospel includes Yeshua returning as the King of the Jews. And Mitch reminded us too of the urgency and the expectancy of the Messiah's return, and we should be expecting him at any minute. The Jewish gospel also expresses God's faithfulness to Israel. And I love these verses once again from the Apostle Paul, Rav Shaul. Says, Shaul, a slave of the Messiah Yeshua, an emissary, because I was called out and set apart for the good news of God. And he defines the good news. God promised this good news in advance through his prophets in the Tanakh. It concerns his son. He's descended from David physically. He was powerfully demonstrated to be the Son of God spiritually, set apart by his having been resurrected from the dead. He is Yeshua the Messiah, our Lord. And so Rabbi Shaul, as he writes to the Romans, reminds them of what this gospel is all about. It's a gospel that was promised beforehand in the Tanakh, all about Yeshua, who is physically a descendant of King David and Jewish. And so we've heard again through this last message of Mitch Glazer that the gospel is good news, first for Jews and also for Gentiles. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe, for the Jew first and then for the Gentile. And Daniel reminded us that the Jewish gospel, as it was explained to new believers in the first century, presented two ways. One wide path leading to destruction, one narrow path leading to salvation. And just as Joshua presented a choice to Israel in the book of Judges. I love these verses. If it seems bad to you to serve Adonai, then choose today whom you are going to serve. As for me and my household, we will serve Adonai. May that be the catch cry of Simcha 2013. What about the people of Israel? I think we've learned this weekend that the Jewish gospel, of course, affirms Jewish identity and destiny. We've also learned that although Israel in the Tanakh is clearly a national, biological, physical Israel, there was also a way in the Tanakh in which Gentiles could be added to Israel without first having to become Jewish. And I thought that was a wonderful point that Vladimir brought out in his message. I think that looking at that more carefully this weekend reminds us that the gospel, the mystery of the gospel, was preempted in the Tanakh. And the mystery of the gospel fully revealed in the New Covenant. That through Yeshua, Gentiles will be made fellow heirs with the Jewish people, being brought in to the commonwealth of Israel. Ephesians 3:6, that in union with the Messiah and through the good news, the Gentiles will be joint heirs, a joint body, and joint sharers with the Jews in what God has promised. And this has important implications for us today, First, it's a challenge to the Jewish authorities, and even in particular the Israeli authorities. As Jewish people who believe in Yeshua want to go and make Aliyah and go and live in the land of Israel, so many have been rejected if they're followers of Yeshua, saying, well, you're no longer Jewish, you've chosen a different religion. That's nonsense. That's not true. Jewishness cannot be taken away from you. It comes, biblically speaking, in the Torah through mother or father, especially father. And if it's God-given, no one can take it away. And so it has implications for Aliyah and many other things. But also, a biblical understanding of the people of Israel has also important implications for Gentiles. You don't have to be Jewish to be added to the Commonwealth of Israel. God's plan of salvation and promises that he made to Abraham included promises to the Gentiles. Your seed, he said to Abraham, will be a blessing to all the families of the earth. Nevertheless, we need to remind ourselves that the destiny of Israel and the destiny of the nations are distinct. Our ultimate destiny is the same, of course. Our ultimate destiny is the same. But God's calling on Israel and God's calling on the nations are distinct, yet intertwined. We need to remember that we shouldn't covet other people's destinies. God has a destiny for each one of us, and it's a glorious destiny. And here's the thing. If you're a Gentile, don't try to be Jewish. And if you're a Jew, don't try to be a Gentile. We just had the story of Hanukkah. The Hellenized Jews in the story of Hanukkah wanted to remove the mark of circumcision with a very painful procedure, so that they may be accepted amongst the Romans. And so, throughout centuries, Jews have also wanted to become Gentiles. We have to resist that. We don't think it's a good thing that Jewish people who come to faith assimilate into the culture around them. There is a distinction because there is a destiny that God has for us. God made you as you are for a reason. No one here is a mistake. No one in the world is a mistake. You were born into the family and the people God wanted you to be born into. There are believers who are being caught up in some weird and complicated teaching nowadays that ultimately tries to make Gentiles into Jews and Jews to be not Jews after all. So stay away. Remember, ultimate identity is found in Yeshua HaMashiach. He has made Jew and Gentile one in Messiah, while we still maintain our cultural and our ethnic distinctives. There should be no confusion about identity. I remember Daniel telling us. Daniel also reminded us that we are called to be light and salt to the world. There is a oneness as well as a uniqueness in the body of Messiah. Oneness as well as uniqueness. As a lookout, you are all very unique. But we are one in the Messiah. All right. Now, finally about, the land. A couple of points about the land. What about the land of Israel? I love Mitch's observation that Israel is unique among the peoples and the nations of the world in that we became a people before we were given a land. And that is unique. Mitch also said that the holy people needed a holy land. And that the land promised to the Jewish people is unconditional. You know that there is a tendency in certain Christian theologies and perspectives to spiritualize God's promises in such a way as to strip the land of Israel from the Jewish people. People say, don't hang on to those physical, earthly promises. God's promises are much more spiritual and eternal. Don't hang on to the earthly Jerusalem, for instance. There is a new Jerusalem coming. That's where your attention should lie. Now, these people would have us believe that the nation of Israel and Jerusalem in particular should simply belong to all people, not just the Jewish people, and that God's promises to the Jewish people about the land don't apply in the New Testament era and for New Testament believers. And that that in the Messiah, they say, we can't talk about a chosen people because there's no specific chosen people now anymore. We're all simply chosen. Well, of course, in the Messiah, we are all chosen, but that doesn't remove God's original promises to his original covenant people. After all, what kind of Jewish gospel would take away the Jewish homeland from the Jewish people? That doesn't make any sense at all. Just think about this for a moment. Imagine sitting down with a Jewish person, particularly perhaps an Israeli. And you say, I've got good news for you. The Messiah has come. And he's come to fulfill all of God's promises to the Jewish people. Prior to his coming, God promised you the Holy Land. Now that he's come, you don't get to have that land anymore. It's all spiritualized. You're going to get something in the future, the new Jerusalem, something spiritual, something better. You don't need a homeland anymore. Your home is now with the Messiah. Until he comes, you can just be homeless. It's like saying to Italians, now that you believe in Jesus, you get to give up your country and be homeless. What nonsense. The Bible says, Israel is God's segula, his peculiar treasure, special treasure, a treasured possession. The Bible also teaches us that just as Israel is God's segula, so the land is also Israel's special inheritance, nachala, which he has given to the Jewish people through covenant. The Jewish people and land of Israel are God's special treasure and inheritance. And the land of Israel itself is specifically noted as the inheritance of God and of the Jewish people. I've got a couple of scriptures there, but we won't go into that. What Mitch also said was true. The Jewish people cannot be complete without the peaceful and permanent possession of the land. The truth is that God's promises are never broken. All his good promises to Jew and Gentile will be fulfilled. Amen. Yes. Finally, the future of Israel. Israel's glorious future. Well, we can be assured that God will preserve the Jewish people physically and spiritually, Mitch told us, and that the Gentiles will receive God's blessings through the conduit of the Jewish people and the Jewish Messiah. Our responsibility today towards the Jewish people is to pray to God that he would fulfill all his promises to be watchmen on the walls. I believe more than ever before, the prayer will unlock the hearts of our Jewish people towards Yeshua. In Melbourne, we've been doing prayer walks around that Eruv. One occasion earlier this year, it was actually at the time of between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, in the 10 days of awe, we organized a prayer walk and a prayer day in Caulfield, and we had teams walking that Eruv and praying for different sections of that Eruv as we walked around. And we believe we have started to see fruit in our ministry as a result of those prayer walks to proclaim salvation through the servant Messiah, which is the key to Israel's salvation. We have seen God unlock the hearts of Jewish people. Finally, Romans 11 tells us, you know, this is probably the only verse from Romans 11 that hasn't been quoted this weekend, surprising enough. Perhaps I missed out on it. But Romans 11, 25 to 29, and I'll finish with this. Beautiful scripture. It reminds us of this mystery. Rabbi Shaul says, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited, speaking to the Roman believers. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until, Mitch told us, it's one of his favorite words in the New Testament, until, because there's hope expressed in that word, until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. What a wonderful passage to finish off our weekend of ministry, weekend of exploring the gospel, the people, the land, and the future of Israel. He's got a great and glorious future for each and every one of us, for Israel and for the nations of the world. And he is unfolding his plan of salvation even in our day in front of our eyes. What a privilege we have to serve him in these days, young and old. Let's see the opportunities that are before us and step out bolder and in unity to proclaim this good news to Jewish people and to Gentiles, every corner of the globe. Amen. And so it's wonderful that our children, our youth, and our children have joined us.